Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Even though you make payroll every Friday, you don't have a guaranteed paycheck. You're the owner, and you eat what you kill.
We are back. It's 13 after. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com, and that's where you can go to find out more about the show and a little bit more about me and a little bit more about our Brain Trust members, of which Sarah Calvert is one, and you can also find out how to listen to this show whenever you want to, and because it's available on demand from my website. If you missed this part, all or part of this show, and you'd like to hear it later, then all you got to do is go to my website later today, before tomorrow, before this time tomorrow, and you can hear it replayed all over again at your convenience. It's your very own version, your very own audio file of the Small Business Advocate Show. Sarah Calvert is our special guest today, and as you know, many of you know her. She's been with us several times before. She is the founder and the principal in Calvert & Associates, P.C., a law firm which she started in 1991. She operates out of Fairfax, Virginia. Sarah, welcome back to the show.
Good morning. Good morning.
It's good to have you with us. And we're talking, Sarah, about today we're going to talk about one of your programs that you call, you've entitled this, kind of an interesting title, Employees, a Help or a Hindrance?
Well, that's the big question. You're never quite sure. If you've ever hired employees, they can be a wonderful help, and they can also be a very scary type of individual to work with, because you don't have as much control over them as you do over yourself.
You know, that's one of the interesting things about being a small business owner or anyone who hires and who is in the process of hiring an employee, a manager of a big company, for that matter. I've done both of them, and I've been in both situations, and you've got you need someone to fill a position. And you interview people, and you've got this one person that's got all the credentials, but there's something that's just not quite right. And then you've got this other person who doesn't have the credentials, but you really like that person, and you don't know whether you've got someone who is capable of overachieving in the interview and not producing,
mm-hmm.
or someone who may be a diamond in the rough.
It is one of the most difficult things. Judging people based on an hour or maybe even 2 hour, you know, interview,
mm-hmm.
is one of the most difficult things there is, because in our small businesses, we work intimately with these people. 99 times out of 100, we're not big enough to put them on a line somewhere and then receive them again.
That's right.
We have to deal intimately with these people from that day forward. And so they'd better be able to, you know, live with our quirks, or maybe work in our home with our dog and our family members.
Mm-hmm.
We have got to make sure that is the right person, and it is really and truly one of the biggest challenges. It's also a complicated area of the law. The rules change daily.
Well, and everyone is not cut out to work for a small business.
No. I once interviewed a front office person, which is the bane of my existence, is my front office position. It seems like I'm always hiring someone there. But I had a lady come in, and she had worked for a major Fortune 500 company, and she'd worked for the government. And she came in, and I said, you know, this is a small business. You know, we have to empty our own trash and wash our own coffee cups. And
roll with the punches.
And she looked at me and she said, I am not a maid. And she
got
up and left.
Oh, no.
So I figured, well, that was a good riddance.
Good for you. Yeah, I'm glad you ferreted that little problem out before it got started.
Yeah, that's one I make a good point to bring up to anybody whose resume shows a lot of big company background.
Well, I think that's a good question to ask people. Is, you know, when you're interviewing someone, and I don't want to get too far. I don't want to get ahead of ourselves here, but I just the concept of hiring people, finding people for small business. I think it's important to say, now, have you stopped to think that this is a small business? And you know, and I'll tell you something else. I know of organizations that if people who are interviewing with me. I help my clients find key people sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm interviewing them and they have ever worked for certain government organizations that I won't name longer than 30 days, then I won't even, I basically won't consider them because they've basically been corrupted.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They've been brought into the employment style of a large entity, and it's a wholly different entity.
Well, those are the people who get 30 days annual leave. They don't. That's what they call it, annual leave.
That's right.
And you know the ones I'm talking about.
Oh yeah, and fat pension fund and.
Yeah, but they've got their annual leave now. They take their annual leave in increments of 30 minutes.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'm leaving early today. I'm taking 30 minutes of my annual leave. And you know the most dangerous place in the world to be, mm-hmm. in America, mm-hmm. is in the doorway of one of those government buildings at 4:15.
I live in the area that employs all these people.
You
not
will be
all
killed. I know, but they laugh at themselves. They know that.
Yes, and it is a different mentality. It's not an overtime mentality. It's
exactly
not a
right.
not a high pressure mentality. The work of the government gets done at government time.
Yeah.
It's not the type of deadline and flexible, you know, everybody must be flexible environment that we have in a small business that we have to have.
And there's something else that I don't hear anybody else talking about this, but I've been saying it for years. People who work for the government work with a budget. When they go to work for small business, they work with a financial statement.
Yes.
And there's a world of difference. The difference between working with a budget and working with financial statements is like the difference between lightning and lightning bug.
Well, not to get too off topic, but this is really what the concern I have with ex-government employees or large Fortune 500 people,
mm-hmm.
taking their pensions and buying a franchise.
Right.
Because I think that's as huge a culture shock as them coming to work for one of the small businesses.
Exactly.
So.
Exactly. But anyway, one of the things that's really important is it is important to find people, mm-hmm. who can function, mm-hmm. in a small business environment, and they need to. It's amazing sometimes how many will interview for a job, and they've never thought about that because they've never been around a small business. Now, on the other hand, there are people out there who just love the idea of working for a small business because it's not intractable. It's something that if you have an idea, you can make a decision and you can act on that. And
should be a lot of independence and flexibility.
And a lot more and a lot of fun. It can be a lot of fun.
More office is permanently fun. It's not allowed not to be fun. So.
I understand. Okay, we're going to talk, folks. We're going to talk some more about some of the issues, some of the key issues. And when we come back after this next break, we're going to talk about the importance of documentation.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about some of the issues involved in an at-will state, whether you live in an at-will state, a lot of other legal issues and practical issues in finding, interviewing, hiring, and keeping good employees. 20 after, I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Sarah Calvert is our special guest. We'll be right back. We are back. It's 24 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. If you are in the process of hiring an employee, some employees, maybe it's the very first employee of your small business, well, you might need some help. If you have a question or a thought or comment, if you've got a problem you'd like to have someone help you solve, I have one of the experts with us right now. Her name is Sarah Calvert. Our good friend, she's been with us 50 times before, for the legal aspects of your small business. And today we're talking about how to find, interview, hire, and keep good employees. One of the things that you say to start out with is just basically an umbrella for this whole discussion, Sarah, is the importance of documentation.
Well, you know, you've heard the real estate agents say that location, location, location is what's important about your business.
Right.
But
mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you document, document, document is what I'm going to tell you over and over again as an attorney. And in this particular area of legal, of employment law, it's critical. You cannot document enough. You cannot tell people enough, and you cannot write down enough for them what your expectations are as a job description, as a job review, if you fire them, in all the areas we're going to talk about. I'm going to ask you to write things down. So get your folders out. Make sure everybody's got their own personnel file, because I'm going to ask you to write down a lot of things.
All right. I agree with you.
Okay.
And to the point that it drives you nuts.
Yes, it does drive you nuts, but that's okay. It's better to drive you nuts than drive you to my office to spend big bucks with me.
Well, and the unfortunate part is small business owners just really honestly, Sarah,
mm-hmm.
and I know this sounds like I'm making excuses for me and for others and or justifying or whatever, we really and truly don't have the time.
No, I know.
To
yeah.
do all the documentation.
But that's part of hiring an employee.
That the big companies do you know, that when they're able to hire a human resources person, and that's all that that person's sole purpose in life virtually is to dot I's and cross T's.
Well, unfortunately, though, there's still some documentation that needs to be done, even if this is your first employee.
Right.
We can't avoid it.
Right. All right. Well, let's wait on that.
Okay.
And I'm glad you said that, because that is important. But we haven't hired this person. In fact, we haven't even found this person
yet. You know, in my area, Jim, there's about a 0.5% unemployment, which, while it's wonderful for some things, for those of us who need help, it's one of the most difficult things is actually finding enough bodies to interview.
Mm-hmm.
Used to be I'd put an ad in our big Washington Post, which is our big paper, and, you know, people from all over the world would find a way to my door to come
and line up around the corner.
Yeah, these days, if I get 50 resumes, 10 of which are actually decent resumes, that's a bonanza for a two-week ad to run on Saturday.
Well, and unfortunately, with the kind of employment situation you've got, probably 8 of those, there's some reason why they're not working.
Well, that's it. Either when I call them, I realize there's a reason they're not employed, or I call them and they've already taken a job.
Yeah.
So you've got to move so rapidly, make very quick decisions, because if there's somebody who's at all employable out there, they'll be snapped up.
Right. Well, how do we find good people?
How do we find good? Well, the traditional methods are not working anymore, at least in my area, and I know there's a lot of other low unemployment areas around. We do things like there's a lot of senior centers that hire people that tell you about people who are over what we call a traditional age.
Mm-hmm.
And are available to work either full-time or part-time. That's been a wonderful thing for us. We also go to the unemployment rolls, to the people who first hit unemployment. Sometimes before they get, you know, a week or two into unemployment, we can interview them and either retrain them or bring them out, get some tax credits, and pull these people off either unemployment or welfare.
You know, I want to go back for just a minute to the senior
mm-hmm.
example.
Mm-hmm.
What is a senior these days? I mean,
55 and older is the agencies that we work with.
Yeah.
And a lot of times these are people who are not going to get full-time management jobs or work in a big company, because a big company doesn't see their value.
Well, they've basically already retired probably from a big company.
Well, that's right. And a large company's not going to bring them on because they're afraid of bringing on an older employee. I, frankly, have had two 75-year-old employees who were my best employees ever.
Oh, yeah.
Because they knew what the work ethic was.
Exactly.
They knew how to work with people. They were not new to an office situation.
And they were glad to have a nice
job. They were happy, and they were people who were already successful in their lives. They didn't have anything to prove to anybody, and I just really, really respect working with older workers. I think it's an invaluable asset to a small business.
No question about it. They're part of our national brain trust, and I've said this on the show before. They're part of our national brain trust that we basically disregarded over the last 25 or 30 years, unfortunately. Stand by, Sarah. We're going to take a quick break, folks. We'll be back in just a few minutes. 888-822-8255. That's the phone number to call if you'd like to join me and Sarah Calvert to talk about hiring and firing employees. 888-822-8255. We'll be right back. Welcome back, heroes. It's 33 after. Thank you very much for being part of my day. Our phone number on this show is 888-822-8255. If you have a question, comment, if you want to agree or disagree with us, just something you'd like to say, you can talk to me and Sarah Calvert, who is our special guest. Eric will take your call. He's on the board, and he'll put you right through to us. 888-822-8255. And did you know, Sarah, that on this day, I'm not going to tell you the year, but I'm going to let you guess the year.
Oh, no.
The first automobile that was built in the U.S., ran on this day. Give me an idea. What year do you think that might have been?
First one built in the United States. Must have been like 1898.
You know, that's pretty close.
Was it?
Yeah. I'm impressed. I was hoping I could stump you a little bit. 1893.
Oh, okay. It was earlier than I thought.
These years amaze me. Whenever I pull these things up, some of these years amaze me. And here's another red letter day. Eric, this is a big day for you and me. On this day in 1903, a patent was granted for the ice cream cone. Red letter day for me and our
producer, Eric.
Which
kind, the cake or the sugar?
I don't know.
Well, it's important.
I don't know that.
One.
All right, we're talking about employees, folks. How to find them and what to do with them. What to do when you catch one of them.
Hey, I got a great idea for finding one, Jim.
Okay.
You go to the bank. And the teller there is efficient and organized and polite and has given you great customer service. Maybe you got to know he or she over the, you know, going in the bank on a repeated excursions. That's a wonderful person to hand your business card to and say, look, anytime you're looking for a job, I might have something for you.
This is called how to really tick off your banker.
This is called how to steal employees.
How to really
You look at the characteristics, and this is actually something we're going to talk about, is how to write a job description. Look at the characteristics of the job that you want. If it needs to have really good detail, if the person has to be able to deal with numbers and money, and they must have good customer service, the ideal person is somebody who's already doing that job and doing it well for someone else.
You know, that is a good idea. And, you know, people all over the place are listening to this. To you say that, and they're saying, hey, I hadn't thought about that. And right now, there are bank tellers' pictures being coming up in people's minds right now.
That's right.
Yeah.
And frankly, the banking industry has been notorious for paying its people not very much money, so hopefully you'll be able to compete with them.
Well, and they probably stole that person from another bank.
Well, that's probably true.
Within the last 60 days or so.
So look at the outlines of the job description in order to find the people. You know, you worry sometimes about where your clients may be hanging out when you're doing marketing surveys. Think the same sort of thing. Where are your employees hanging out? Are they somebody that you could train from the ground up? So maybe you're going to the local university or even the local high school and their internship programs.
Mm-hmm. That's a good way to go.
Yeah, that's a wonderful way to go, to get an internship experience. The kid gets credit, gets to learn your business, and you get some either free or very low-cost help.
Right. And you may be growing a long-term employee. Who knows?
Yes, I think that's a wonderful thing to do.
Employment services, people who have employment agencies. We've been using them lately, and they've helped us not have to go through the acquisition process. They send us resumes, and you need to work with a couple of them at a time because in any given project that we have, one will come across with a good with some good references, some good applicants, and then the next time it'll be the other one. So try to get at least two agencies that you work with. You will have to pay them because that's what they do for a living,
right?
But it can be a lot cheaper than you spending all your time and running ads and that sort of thing.
I much prefer in those cases to do the temp to perm situations where you bring them in and then they're their employee for a while. You get to train, you get to see whether or not they're trainable, see if they're really as intelligent as they seem to be.
90 days or so. Yeah.
Yeah, and then you don't like them, you send them back. No questions asked. It's not your, it doesn't hit your unemployment status.
No harm, no foul, and the people and the person that's working for you knows that going in.
That's right. And they get to test you out. Maybe it is that they've not been in a small business situation or are unfamiliar with what the job is really going to entail, and it's good for parties all around. That, and also, usually you can work out a system whereby if you keep them on as a temp for maybe 6 months, then their fee is paid for.
Yes. So the last three office employees I have hired, I hired that way.
Yes. I've done it before, and frankly, my best employee came from a temp agency.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people, when they start to re-enter the workforce, first go to do temps to kind of get a feel for what's out there.
Right.
And so they're going to be there. They're not going to be hanging out reading the newspapers necessarily.
Okay, now we found them.
Okay.
They're in front of us. They're across the desk from us.
Yes.
Now what
first
do we do?
First thing you give them is a written description of the job that you have. I want you to before the first person comes in the door, you know, they may be sitting outside the door, but before they come in, to write down what you must have this person. They must have knowledge of WordPerfect. They must have a perfect telephone voice. I would also like them to be able to speak Spanish, if that's in their resume. I would like them to be able to do a couple other word processing programs that we use. I'd like them to be able to have a background in money, but it's, you know, again, I got my must-haves and my like-to-haves. And I describe the ideal person without ever seeing anybody. When the first person comes in, I give them my job description of what the job will do. You know, this person will answer the phone. This person will organize Sarah, which is always a big challenge. This person, you know, tell them exactly, realistically, what you expect this position to have to do. And then interview them based upon the job descriptions that you have. Tell me about a time when you had to really be organized. Tell me about some things that you do that that you think are very efficient, you know, or that show that you're efficient. Make this person tell you why they fit your job description.
You know, you were talking about your must-haves.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking of some people that I know who need some employees, and their only must-have was breathing.
Well, there's a lot of good. You know, picking people on the street corner is a real useful one for that.
Stand by, sir. We got to take a break, folks. It's 39 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, 888-822-8255. We got back. It's 44 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining us. Our website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com, and I would like for Sarah Calvert to give you her website. Please go ahead, Sarah.
www.calvert, C-A-L-V-E-R-T, and associates, all spelled out, .com.
All right, and I need a phone number, too.
It's 800-526-5665, or if you're in Virginia, 703-591-5315. Just tell me that you called. Jim told you to call, and we'd be happy to chat with you.
Thank you very much for helping folks out there. And folks, especially if you're in Sarah's area, give her a shout at your business. Sarah, we're obviously not going to get all the way through this. There's so much to talk about, but we're going to continue as we've been doing with other subjects. We're going to continue this series talking about how to interview, hire, and keep good people. All right, now we're in the interview process, and mm-hmm. You said that we need to make sure that we interview them based on the job description. Well, you know, a lot of people, unfortunately, a lot of small business owners haven't really written down a job description before they interview.
Honest, Jim, it takes 5-10 minutes. You just need to sit down in a quiet room, which is probably the hardest part for a small business owner, and think to yourself before the first person comes in, what must I have? What would I like to have? And then rate the people according to how they fit those needs. There is an intangible, and that, frankly, that's part of my listing. I must be able to get along with them. They must be a good team player. Those are all good characteristics of somebody to work in a small business. And your particular job will have certain characteristics. If you're not a people person, talk to somebody else about what you need. See if they can give you some feedback about what kind of person fits this job. Is this a job where somebody's looking at paper all day and therefore they don't have to have much in the way of people skills?
Right.
Is this a job where they're going to be marketing all day?
That's what God made jobs like that for.
That's right. That's right. You've got to get the right people.
So people like that have a job.
That's right. There are lots of jobs out there that don't require customer contact. So even if they're not a particularly outgoing or friendly person, that's okay. That may indicate that there's somebody who's much better with details or paper than with people.
This job description thing, though, I want to point something out here. If you have other employees who are in that job description and you need an extra one, let them help you write that job description. Ask them to write the first one, because if you've been losing people in a certain job description, mm-hmm. it's probably because you don't really know what that job description involves. You're hiring people based on your concept of what that job is, and when they get there, that's not what they find.
Well, also, you can find that you've got a real dichotomy in your job description. For years I've been doing my upfront job is a half marketing job and half very detail-oriented paperwork. Well, mm-hmm. people that can do both really well are extraordinarily hard to find.
Yeah, they're rare.
So we separated the job out, rearranged some of the job descriptions in my office so that the front office person was really wholly a marketing position and some very superficial paperwork.
Right.
So that a real people person could be up there and the rest of it could go by the wayside and have other people fill in the blanks.
If there's one thing that is true, you cannot afford to waste a good employee. And if you haven't hired them, and if you haven't set up their employment situation properly, what you've done is you've set it up so they will fail, probably.
It's a crime. It's a crime.
Yeah.
We don't have enough time or money to be going through
a lot. You just can't afford it. No, you just can't. You can't afford to let a good person get away because you didn't set them up properly. You know, and when you're interviewing someone, Sarah, I really focus on more, even more than their background and their skills. I really focus on intelligence and attitude. Give me a smart person mm-hmm. with a good attitude, and we can train them to do anything.
Well, you know, you were saying earlier that you have a client who could hire anything that's a warm body.
Yeah.
But there's no good with a warm body that can't think. And
right.
People can only think if you ask them intelligent questions and they give you some intelligent answers. That to me, I agree. There are certain people that everybody can't work with. I can't work with people who don't think things through.
And also people with a bad attitude. I can't stand it.
Yeah, it's interesting. I take out in all my positions, and even though this takes a lot of time, I do it anyway. I take out the person I think I'm going to hire, you know, as my last stage with the rest of my staff to see how the team meshes.
Mm-hmm.
Took out a lady who we thought was perfect, had a really good telephone voice and everything. Took her out, and she told us all about negative things in her life. Nothing in her life was positive.
Oh, no.
Oh, her boyfriend had done this to her, and
no.
her house had done this, and her car had done this.
She's
By the time
here.
We were done with the meal, we were like, thank you very much. You've enlightened us tremendously.
Hope
we don't want a downer in our office.
Hope you've enjoyed your meal.
Really.
Wow.
So it really pays to get people a little bit out of that interview situation. If you're interviewing 20, 25 people, pick your best two and take them out to lunch, see how they mesh with the team.
Well, I'll tell you, the truth is, though, Sarah,
mm-hmm.
nobody, I mean, I'm not going to say nobody, but most jobs are going to be filled with 1 to 3 interviews.
Yes, that's correct. You're going to know it when you see it. This is something that anybody with any sense of people will have.
Well, what I'm saying is that either one of two things are going to happen these days. Number one, the employer, the small business owner, is going to be tired and disinterested in the process and just try to hire somebody quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're not going to have any more applicants than that.
Right.
Could very well, you know, very likely be the case.
Yeah, that's a shame.
Okay.
It's difficult.
Yeah. All right. We're going to take a break here in a few seconds. When we come back, folks, we're going to talk a little bit more about the interview process and set you up for when we come back with Sarah in a couple of weeks to talk about how to hire these people, how to make sure you get them on board properly. It's 50 After. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We'll be right back with Sarah Kelman. We are back. It's 54 After. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I appreciate your business. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com, and Sarah Calvert is our special guest. She has a website, too, and I'd like to hear it one more time, Sarah.
It's www.calvert, C-A-L-V-E-R-T, and associates.com, all spelled out. I hear there's exciting stuff coming for your webpage, too.
There is. There's some good stuff coming, and a lot of it is going to include archives from Sarah Calvert, and looking forward to being able to make that available to the audience. Sarah, let's wrap up the hour talking about we're in the process of interviewing employees, folks, and that's about as far as we're going to get today. The next time Sarah's going to be with us in a couple of weeks, we're going to move on into the actual hiring process and getting them on board, how to do that well, and some other stuff that are involved in getting and keeping good employees. You said that we were talking about some of the important questions that you
mm-hmm.
have to ask.
People are a little afraid to ask questions because I get this phone call all the time. What are the illegal questions? Well, if you are asking questions about the person, you are probably in the wrong direction. If you're asking questions about the job description, you're probably okay. For example, can you work varied and flexible hours, including overtime, is the correct question. Do you have a babysitter for your children is maybe considered a sexist question, even especially when it's asked of a woman, but even when it's asked of a man.
Mm-hmm.
So be sure you're asking questions not about their babysitting situation, but about the job description. We need somebody who can work overtime and be flexible. Can you lift items weighing up to 20 pounds? That's part of our job description. We do a lot of lifting in this particular job. Not do you have any handicaps or disabilities. Go ahead.
What if it's obvious?
Well, then you still need to ask them. It may be that there's a way that somebody who's in a wheelchair may have a ramp that could lift 100 pounds.
How do you, if someone interviews you with an obvious disability?
Right.
They're in a wheelchair, or they've got some physical disability that's obvious. I mean, it's part of who they are.
Sure.
How do you deal with that?
You ask them questions about the job description, not about their particular disability. You say, it is required on this job that we do detailed paperwork. Is that something you can handle? And if they're blind and if it's going to mean they have to put everything into Braille, that may not work out. That may not be an accommodation that you're able to make for them.
But what if they actually say, what if they sit there in front of you and say, yes, that won't be a problem, and it's obvious that it will be a problem.
Well, I'd say, how would you do that? Tell me how you do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And then this is one question I got as a young attorney was, what religion are you, or do you go to church? You don't ask that question if you're looking for people for Sundays, or if you're looking for them to wear a uniform, and it's obvious they're wearing some religious regalia that they wear. You know, the question is, can you work on a particular day, and can you wear a uniform? So keep it to the job description. The job requires a uniform. Ask them about, can you wear this uniform, and here's the pieces to it.
What are some things, and we've only got about 30 seconds, what are some things that are not on applications today that used to be?
Well, we used to ask about all sorts of disabilities. That's
right.
Probably the key one that you'll find in something that's about a 5 or 6 year old employment application.
What about their age?
Their age, whether or not they smoke.
You cannot ask that now.
Well, it's a tricky one. I mean, there are some places that say there are some indications that it's not a good question to ask.
What about if they're married?
If they're married, it's not applicable. It doesn't make any difference to the job at hand. You can't ask a lot of things that we used to be able to ask.
Yeah. Very interesting.
And it's very difficult to find them out except in casual conversation afterwards.
Yep, yep. Which if you're looking for a job, you might help your interviewer out a little bit. Sarah, that's got to be the last word.
Okay.
Thank you very much. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Sounds good.
Sarah Calvert, ladies and gentlemen, she's our good friend and a very valuable member of our organization. Got to wrap it up for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. And remember, when opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you've had a bad day. Greet it with a smile. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.